masked savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program, The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab. Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said, "The one who dies and does not recognize the Imam of his time will actually die the death of an ignorant." But in this program, we try to provide you with the most information regarding the Imam of your time. Yes, this is the last savior. And today we're going to discuss the signs of the advent of Imam al-Zaman, ajallaha ta'ala faraja. And on that note, today in our studio, we have with us a very special guest. We have Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. Karim, in our previous episodes, we discussed about the names of Yamani. We analyzed a couple of narrations, both from Shia sources and Sunni sources. And we reached a conclusion that we cannot say that Yamani has a particular name because all the chains were weak. Well, since we do not have any name for Yamani, but still do we have some titles?
Sure. According to some narrations quoted in Shia sources from the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, there are a couple of titles and epithets mentioned for Yamani.
Okay.
Of course, the most famous one is Yamani itself. It's been mentioned in many narrations. For example, when Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam was asked when Al-Qa'im will reappear, he said the following. Imam Baqir alayhi salam referred to some signs. For example, إِذَا تَبْشَبَّهَا الرِّجَالُ بِالنِّسَاءِ, at a time when men would try to look as women. And then he said, وَخُرُوج السُّفْيَانِ مِنَ الشَّامِ. Another sign for his reappearance is the uprising of Sufyani from the Levant, from Syria. وَالْيَمَانِ مِنَ الْيَمَنِ, and Yamani coming from Yemen. وَخَسْفٌ بِالْبَيْدَى, and the rest of the narration. This is in Al-Kafi, page 331, chapter 32, hadith number 16. So for sure that one of the titles is Yamani.
Okay.
The next title is Al-Mansur al-Yamani or Al-Mansur, which seems to be a title and not a name. And Al-Mansur is, in Arabic language, means the one who, gains a victory.
Okay.
So for example, it is quoted from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam that he said, إِذَا ظَهَرَ سُفْيَانِ عَلَى الْأَبْقَى وَالْمَنْسُورِ الْيَمَانِ. When Sufyani will defeat Abqa, which is the name of a person, and Al-Mansur al-Yamani.
Mm-hmm.
We'll discuss, of course, later about the chain of the events which will take place between Sufyani and Yamani and which one will defeat the other.
Yeah.
But according to this narration, the point is that Yamani is called Al-Mansur al-Yamani.
Okay.
So when it happens, according to this narration, خَرَجَ الْتُرْكُ وَالْرُومُ, the Turks and the Romans, they will have a kind of uprising, فَظَهَرَ عَلَيْهِمُ السُّفْيَانِ, and Sufyani will defeat them too.
All right.
In another narration, we read, ثُمَّ يَسِيرُ إِلَيْهِمْ مَنْسُورُ الْيَمَانِ مِنْ سَنْعَى بِجُنُودِهِ. Then Mansur al-Yamani will come toward him with his soldiers from Sana'a. And then we have another narration in Al-Ghiba by Nu'mani, page 46, chapter 2, hadith number 1. In this narration, the Holy Prophet is describing the people of Yemen.
Okay.
He says, قَوْمٌ رَقِيقَةٌ قُلُوبُهُمْ. People of Yemen, they have a very soft hearts.
All right.
رَاسِخٌ إِيمَانُهُمْ. They have a very firm belief. وَمِنْهُمُ الْمَنْسُورُ. One of them is Al-Mansur, who will come with 70,000 people.
Okay.
And he will help one of my successors.
Okay.
So these narrations are telling us that one of the titles of the promised Yamani is Mansur, or
true,
Al-Mansur al-Yamani, or Mansur al-Yamani.
All right. We'll discuss more titles after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back. This is The Last Savior. I'm with Dr. Karimi. We're discussing the titles of Yamani. Dr. Karimi, before going to the break, we talked about the titles of Yamani. We said the Yamani itself is a title.
Yeah.
And also, we read a couple of narrations wherein we came to the conclusion that Al-Mansur is another title.
And the third one, according to some narrations, is Al-Khalifatul Yamani.
Okay.
A caliph who is Yamani. Again, this is not a name, rather it is a title.
Yeah.
For example, there is a narration in Al-Fitan, page 253, according to which the narration reads, على يدي ذلك الخليفة اليماني الذي تفتح القسطنطينية ورومي على يديه يخرج الدجال وفي زمانه ينزل عيسى بن مريم. The narration is talking about some of the events which take place at the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. One of them is regarding Yamani and the fact that he will conquer some lands, and also the narration talks about Dajjal.
All right.
And the fact that Prophet Jesus alayhi salam also would descend from heaven. So the point in this narration is that Yamani is called Al-Khalifatul Yamani.
All right.
Now, the point about this narration is that it is not mentioned in Shia sources.
All right.
Is from
Sunni sources?
A Sunni source. So as Shia, we cannot rely on this narration.
All right.
The fourth title is Al-Qahtani. As I mentioned, in some narrations, especially in some Sunni sources, instead of Yamani, we have the
Qahtani.
Title Al-Qahtani.
Yeah.
And it seems that Al-Qahtani is the same as Al-Yamani.
Okay.
Because of some similarities between the promised Yamani and this Qahtani.
Okay.
So, first of all, why Qahtan is the same as Yaman? Because when we refer to Arabic dictionaries, for example, Ibn Manzur writes that Qahtan is the name of the father of the people of Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who is attributed to him or to Yemen is called Qahtani.
Okay.
And there are some narrations in this regard. When we put all these narrations together, we may come to this conclusion that Yamani is the same as Qahtani.
All right.
For example, in one narration in Al-Fitan, page 245, we read, يَكُونَ بَعْدَ الْمَهْدِ خَلِيفَةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْيَمَنِ مِّنْ قَحْتَانِ.
Okay.
After Mahdi, there would be a ruler from Yemen from Qahtan. He is from Yemen and he's from Qahtan.
After Mahdi.
And yeah, according to this narration, he will rule after Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We will come to this discussion again when we discuss about the chain of the events,
mm-hmm.
whether Yamani would be alive after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam or would be martyred before his reappearance. We will discuss that.
All right, so that's another discussion.
Yeah, that's another discussion. Here, we just want to prove that Qahtani in some narrations is the same as Yamani. And in this narration, especially both of them is mentioned. Min Ahl al-Yaman, he is from Yemen, and Min Qahtan.
Okay.
And in another narration in Faidul Qadir, 1 in 4, page 167, Bastami says that then a man from Yemen will come. He will have a kind of uprising. He is called Qahtani.
All right. Again, we have Qahtani over here.
Exactly.
We'll discuss that narration after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned. Welcome back. This is The Last Savior. We're discussing about the titles of Yamani. Dr. Karimi, before going to the break, you gave us some titles that in some narrations, Yamani's title is the Yamani himself, and then in some he's called as Al-Mansur, and we had Al-Khalifat al-Yamani, quoting from a Sunni source, and again Sunni sources say that his title is Al-Qahtani, but he again said that's again a Sunni source, and Qahtan is, it could be related to Yamani again, because Qahtan is a name of a father of the people of Yemen.
Yeah. So to have a kind of conclusion, although some of these narrations are not quoted in authentic Shia sources, but some scholars in our time, some researchers, they believe that when we analyze all these narrations, we see that the same features which are mentioned for Yamani in Shia sources, like he will come from Yemen, he will have a kind of uprising, he will come at the time of Sufyani, he will have a war with Sufyani, he is a very positive man, people need to help him, those okay. who can help him. In other narrations, the same features are attributed to Qahtani.
Okay.
So these similarities at least can be indicating that Qahtani, as mentioned in some of the Sunni sources, is the same as Yamani, because the features are same. The same. Putting together all these narrations, we can mention the following as the titles for Yamani. One of them is Yamani, Al-Mansur al-Yamani, Mansur, Al-Khalifatul Yamani, and Qahtani. So when we want to come to a clear picture out of the promised Yamani, we can search for these titles and we can put together all the narrations containing the titles that I mentioned, Yamani, Al-Mansur al-Yamani, Al-Khalifat al-Yamani, Qahtani, and Mansur. Although some people may argue that we need to justify with Shia sources, so they may reject Al-Khalifat al-Yamani and Qahtani.
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned, at least for Qahtani, it seems that he is the same as Yamani,
same as Yamani,
because of the similarities that
the features that I mentioned.
Yeah, and the events also. For that, in the following sessions, in which we'll talk about the time of the uprising of Yamani and the sequence of events and what will happen to Yamani, we will refer to the narrations containing these titles that I mentioned. Yamani, Al-Mansur al-Yamani, Al-Khalifat al-Yamani, Qahtani, and Mansur.
All right. We were discussing about the titles today. Because as we know, among definite signs and indefinite signs, we also have debate. We have which signs are definite, which signs are indefinite. And even indefinite signs, we again have debate. Are these signs really definite or indefinite? We have been focusing on the sign which is considered to be a definite sign. That was Yamani. We discussed in a chain of narrations, was that a definite or indefinite? We provided both narrations, analyzed them. Analyzed the chain, and then we came to the titles because there was again confusion. And among titles, Dr. Karimi, you told us from both Sunni sources as well as Shia sources. And after discussing about the narrations, after analyzing the chain of narrations, we discussed about his name, which was in some narrations as Hassan or Hussein. And then from Sunni sources, we discussed his name is discussed as Jahjah and then Shoaib ibn Saleh. But all these narrations, when we analyzed them, we said that we cannot rely on them because the chain of narrations was weak. Now, since we don't have even the name, we discussed the titles. And among titles, we said his title could be Yamani, Al-Mansur, Al-Khalifat al-Yamani. And we said all these from the both Shia and Sunni sources. Well, however, the chain of narrations again seems to be way weak. There is a lot of scholarly debate and discussion on that. Inshallah, we'll discuss all that in another episode. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Recent efforts made by the U.S. and allies in West Asian region trying to sow discord among ethnic and religious groups in places such as Iran have had reverse results. Case in point, today in Iran the Turks, Kurds, Baluchs, Arabs, Shiites, Sunnis, Christians and Jews have good relations among themselves and with the Iranian government. Even some groups that previously had some conflicts and differences with establishments that led to the recent unrest are today cooperating with it to find peaceful resolutions, despite what the US, Israel, and Saudi Arabia desired. In their latest meeting, heads of the three branches of the Iranian government called on relevant bodies to act vigilantly in maintaining public order, security, and tranquility across the country. The officials also thanked the Iranian people for contributing to efforts to foil plots aimed at creating crises in the country. In recent remarks, the American President Joe Biden encouraged anti-government protests, saying, "We're gonna free Iran. They're gonna free themselves pretty soon." According to international law, Biden's remark is indicative of blatant foreign interference. The Americans and other enemies sought to destabilize Iran by implementing the same plans as in Libya and Syria, but they failed. President Raisi was quoted telling the local media. "By contrast, Iranian cities are now safe and sound," Raisi said, promising retribution for the riots and vandalism the country had experienced lately. To take a closer look at what's actually taking place in different corners of Iran right now, stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. The streets of Tehran have been largely quiet as the Iranian government attempts to signal that life has returned to normal after a few weeks of protests and sometimes bloody riots. But if the streets are now quiet after the unrest, there are signs that there is a challenge taking place and heightening within the establishment itself about the management method of the recent events and socio-political solutions for the causes of the unrest. In another gesture apparently intended to show the crisis is over, the government says it will allow the citizen groups to hold rallies again in the future provided they meet strict preconditions. Under the law of the Islamic Republic, citizens have the right to public assembly so long as the rallies are peaceful and not against the values of the Islamic Revolution.
In this encounter with America, there are certain attributes that are fundamentally different from the many plans and programs that we have been facing since the victory of the revolution. In two or three words, these attributes can be defined. First of all, this is really an international war against the Islamic Republic. Secondly, this is a hybrid war in technical expression. It depends on information, organization, and expertise. The third attribute is the fact that this is a complicated war with interwoven elements.
So, despite the misrepresentation by the Western media and Persian language opposition media outlets, normal life goes on in Iran. Shopkeepers go to their shops, students attend their classes. Many people haven't even encountered a single demonstration personally, but the Western affiliated media makes it look like a revolution is going on in Iran. In such a way that if a person enters Iran from another country today, he or she would think that something is wrong. This doesn't match the description of Western media outlets.
As we speak right now, we're close to the Vanias Square, which has been one of the hotspots in the recent protests. If you were looking through the cyberspace lenses, most likely you would have felt the place was burning in fire. This is what media does, cognitive warfare, change of perception. If you look carefully, the Western media is making their people see us as they please. Another aspect of what they're doing is to make our people see them as they prefer. But what they've been concentrating on during the recent unrest is that our people see them and us as they please.
In fact, experience shows that the countries which are typically deemed turbulent and unsafe by the Western media, such as Iran, are often actually the safest and most remarkable ones. According to most tourism experts, Iran has some of the kindest and friendliest locals you could ever meet. There are so many social and cultural misconceptions out there, and Iranians are always trying to debunk as many of them as they can.
There is a tight and meaningful relationship between most of the provinces in the country that are made up of different ethnicity, culture, history, language, and living conditions. However, these people live under a single umbrella called Iran. They never put their Lor, Azeri, Baluch, Arab, Turkmen ethnicities higher than being an Iranian. And this is the reason for their unity and coherence. Also, Islam brings additional unity and coherence for them. Because of that, we have an annual event in the Islamic Republic called the Islamic Unity Week. And during this week, all the Sunni and Shia leaders of the country and the region gather together to prove that we are not for conspiracy or internal conflict. Our enemies want to undermine this very strength of ours.
Iran is an incredibly underrated country with an immense history, the beauty of its landscapes, the details of its stunning architecture, the hospitality of its locals, the unique villages that still hold on to their centuries-old traditions, and so much more rarely ever gets represented in the news. Tourists who have spent time in Iran commonly believe it should be on every traveler's bucket list. However, the beauty of Iran is rarely shown in the Western media. Sadly, it's always buried under naive, scary footage that only reflects the world of politics, the kind of politics that's twisted enough to fit the interests of its antagonistic foes.
این اتفاقات به نظرم خیلی فرصت بود.
These incidents have created a great opportunity in my opinion. Things we haven't paid enough attention to in the past. The most important is the fact that we must pay attention to our youth. They were emotionally provoked with some issues to come to the streets. They should be taken seriously and respectfully. We might have overlooked them due to the corona years. The other opportunity is about our universities. The Islamic Republic, since its beginning, has insisted on political environment inside the universities. But now our universities are vibrant again. Officials are visiting them more frequently now, and a good dialogue is taking place there. We need to continue on this path to reach higher grounds of free thinking.
Despite the exaggerated news coverage of recent protests in Iran, one has to be cautious in interpretation of the events and prediction of the outcome. Perhaps for Iran, the path to democracy zigs and zags and sometimes moves in ways that some people think is forward and others think is moving back, or so. While some commentators have gone so far as to call the demonstrations a women's revolution, this seems to go too far, according to sociopolitical experts. Political scientist Patrick O'Neill identifies a revolution as a form of political violence and the public seizure of the state in order to overturn the existing government and the regime. The current demonstrations in Iran do not match these definitions, although people are chanting against some government policies. But they seem to be more of an outcry for justice in certain segments of social life. Additionally, the demonstrators definitely have not pursued the seizure of the state.
The other opportunity has to do with the media. One of the most serious blows we encountered has to do with our media efforts. Our media acted weak and passive. We didn't take advantage of our past experience. For example, we were slow to cover the Ukraine plane accident. We were slow to cover different aspects of Mahsa Amini's story, such as the security camera footages. Overall, there is an absence of a role for the media in strategic and important national issues is being felt. The last but not least opportunity has to do with the Responsibility Act of the Islamic Republic, which is one of the most democratic systems in the world. Our power comes from the people, and we have to respond to them more swiftly in critical situations.
Another key ingredient for revolution is missing. So far, the security forces of the Islamic Republic remain intact, and the state has continued to rely on the law enforcement forces and plainclothes agents to calm down the rioters. Meanwhile, the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, which is tasked with protecting the revolution from internal and external threats, has not been deployed, perhaps because the state feels secure enough without it.
In fact, it's a hybrid war. Let me describe it to you. It's actually a mixture of all elements. For instance, they used a qualitatively diverse group of people in appearance, such as religious clergy, university professors, Daesh operatives, university students, high school students. They didn't need a large quantity of these people. Instead, they used a variety of types. This allowed them to produce content more easily, also make the message more believable by hearing it from a variety of people.
One should also keep in mind that at the moment, major cities including Tehran, Mashhad, Tabriz and Shiraz remain completely in the control of authorities, despite sometimes witnessing riots and clashes with security forces. There have also been some reports of a strike, but they are not widespread, nor has there been the closure of the Tehran Bazaar, which characterized the Islamic Revolution.
In the case of interactive media, it is the message that comes towards the user, not the user goes towards the message. In this case, the message chooses its audience. What happens next is that they influence your views by bringing interesting doubts into concrete realities. This way, they make you doubt your judgment even about things you were very certain before. The opposite can be used to project things positively too, meaning that by this sort of manipulation, you could perceive your enemies as friends.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There is a lack of viable political alternatives. Opposition to the Islamic Republic is either weak or fractured, irrelevant or rejected by most of the people of Iran. They include outdated supporters of the monarchy and the MKO, which is widely despised by Iranians of all political stripes because of their siding with Saddam Hussein when Iraq invaded Iran during the 1980s, and also many acts of terrorism on Iranian ordinary people and officials.
Ordinary people never go along with violence, and no ordinary person, be it a shopkeeper or an academic or a student, none of them would take up a knife in protest. The best they do is hold up a banner. But these rioters showed up with knives, weapons, and so on. They really turned the streets into war zones. People saw that after 40 years in which they have gained such a high level of experience in political matters. They are unique in that sense. They won't get fooled easily. They are not deceived easily by media tricks. Therefore, ordinary people didn't participate in these sorts of action from the beginning, and this thwarted the rioters' plots.
Although the current unrest would have faded out one way or another, the government is determined to address some of the concerns of the protesters. This process will naturally take some time, but it is never forsaken. In this context, President Raisi, while addressing the unrest in the country, told the local media that some reforms in the implementation of some laws may be necessary.
Two issues need to be separated. One is the protest and the other is the riot. Protests still exist and it's within the community of the people. At different levels of the society, protests regarding cultural, social or economic issues exist. And this is completely natural. And the leadership says they are often right demands. So it's something that the establishment officially accepts, respects it, and there should certainly be an appropriate response for it. But what's illegitimate is the issue of riots, which seems to be over now.
There is plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media. Here is how it looks on the page. Iran arrests agent of London-based opposition TV channel. Iranian armed forces have arrested an alleged employee of an opposition television broadcaster, Iran International, while the individual was fleeing the country, the semi-official Fars News Agency said last week. Recently, the agents carried out numerous activities and actions in slandering the Islamic Republic, inviting youth to riot and creating terror among the people, Fars said about the arrest. Iranian media identified the arrested individual as Elham Afkari, who they say had been in contact with the TV channel. Tasnim News Agency says Iran wraps Germany's undiplomatic stance, warns of firm response. The foreign minister of Iran hit back at its German counterpart for her provocative and undiplomatic remarks about the Islamic Republic, warning Berlin that Iran would show a proportionate and firm reaction. In a post on his Twitter account on Thursday, Hossein Amir Abdullahian deplored the anti-Iran stances adopted by German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock. He reminded Baerbock in the tweet that provocative, interventionist and undiplomatic stances don't signal sophistication and wisdom. Undermining old ties has long-term consequences, Amir Abdullahian warned. Tehran Times news agency says eight countries trained riot leaders, Iranian Interior Minister. The US, Israel, Saudi Arabia and several European nations directly incited unrest in Iran, according to Iranian Interior Minister Ahmad Vahidi, who said that the leaders and organizers of those unrests were carefully trained in eight countries for these unrests. Vahidi, who was speaking with the Shia and Sunni clerics in Gorgan, Golestan province, reiterated, In the course of the recent plot, countries such as Germany and Britain too, alongside Saudi Arabia and the Zionist regime, had openly established headquarters and were busy supporting the rioters. He said these countries attempted to turn the current events into racial conflicts by pretending to favor certain Iranian tribes and ethnic minorities. The Interior Minister emphasized that the oppressors' fake sympathy for nations had been demonstrated in the past, citing their backing for the massacre of Iraqi Kurds and Sunni Muslims in Mosul as examples. A few days ago, Iran's foreign minister, in a phone conversation with the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, criticized security and media meddling by an Arab country in recent protests and deadly riots in the Islamic Republic. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said, in contradiction to the UN Charter, a few Western governments acted to encourage violence and offer training on making arms and Molotov cocktails in the cyberspace and media by exploiting peaceful protests in Iran, which resulted in the killings of police personnel and the creation of insecurity in Iran, to the extent that they paved the way for an act of terror by Daesh in Shiraz.
We should also admit that our media power is not comparable to the enemy's. Our war is also an equal war. They utilize many satellite networks such as BBC, Iran International, Manoto, and many others that have turned into a war room now. They blatantly tell their viewers how to hit security forces, how to make Molotov cocktails, how to shoot weapons, and if you get arrested, how to answer your interrogator, how to twist facts. This is all thought in these networks. This is why we can't put an image of General Soleimani in Facebook, because they'll close your account right away.
According to Iranian officials, the head of opposition media that influenced riots and vandalism in the country is Iran International, which has assumed the responsibility of increasing hostilities and unrest in Iran as the Saudi media arm. This network no longer does media work, but in fact acts as a terrorist organization that seeks to destabilize Iran. In the past, this network had interviewed people who were doing acts of terrorism in Iran in an attempt to provoke Iranian citizens. There is no one in the media world who does not know that Saudi oil dollars are behind the attractive appearance of this network.
We see Iran International as a media related to the Saudis. This media makes public protest calls on its own. This is really important because they get no response at the street level. If you review the events from the start onwards, it seems that at first some sparkles took shape at our universities, this sparkle transitioned to the streets and again died down on the streets and returned to the universities and finally died down there too.
Iran's intelligence minister Ismail Khatib recently offered a detailed analysis of the hybrid war the enemies have waged against the Iranian nation. In reference to media aspects, he said currently the media based in England is seeking to create and spread riots in Iran. Both in the past and at present, their media outlets have stepped beyond the field of directing riots and are seeking to organize malicious movements and acts of terrorism inside the country.
Right now, in response to the hybrid war, what we need to do is to form our lines of defense and offense, which is happening at the moment. In terms of cyberspace environment and cognitive aspects, we had some problems. For instance, instead of developing and commercializing our domestic software capabilities, we've been using foreign softwares that don't give us any degree of control over the product and actually gain control over us as users. In this sense, we've been giving away our most important asset, which is the public information, to foreign companies that use it against us. Nobody does it. Europe never does this. Americans, Chinese, and Russians never give their public assets to their enemies.
Unfortunately, the British government, which operates the BBC and Iran International satellite stations with its support and within its media framework, has taken on a terrorist role today. And this means they are crossing the red line of the Islamic Republic of Iran's security.
While they were preparing a plan to start their scheme, we were negotiating with the Saudis. During Rouhani's government, we had four rounds of successful negotiations, as they were saying this themselves, and one round of negotiation during Mr. Raisi's time, who has been promoting the improvement of regional relations. Meaning that these negotiations had so much force and energy behind it. It got to the point that an imminent exchange of diplomats were being discussed by each country's foreign ministry. So what happened to all that? We have the posture of war instead, and the same old words of Mr. Bin Salman about bringing the war to Iran. First of all, Iran is completely and fundamentally against such approach that the US, Israel, and the UK would certainly reap the benefit from it. This is like falling for the trap to play their game. They would want us to get involved in a war with their sets of rules.
These attempts by the Saudi-financed media outlet is despite the fact that in Saudi Arabia, any comments against the government face punishments, such as death penalty. Saudi authorities' execution of 81 men on March 12, 2022 was its largest mass execution in years, despite recent promises to curtail its use of the death penalty. Some of them had been convicted of protest-related offences. Saudi activists told Human Rights Watch that rampant and systematic abuses in Saudi Arabia's criminal justice system suggest it is highly unlikely that any of the men received a fair trial. The chief commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says Iran's pledge of revenge against enemies over their role in the unrest across the country has filled them with fear and prompted them to send messages to Tehran asking it not to act on the promise.
We've never been faced with such a huge volume of violence at the street level. In 2009, it took 8 to 9 months before in the last couple of months, protests became violent. There was a time when every protest, even at the street level, was done in the form of silent slogans and peaceful demonstrations.
Major General Hossein Salami referred to his earlier warning to the foreign parties involved in the wave of violence in Iran, which followed a bloody terror attack by Daesh at a holy shrine in the city of Shiraz late last month. Back then, Salami said, "To the House of Saud and the media under its control, we say this, we will come after you. We shall bereave you of your come. The enemy always breaks itself with its own mistakes. We once again defeated them using their own miscalculation." That's all for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do tune in again at the same times next week and each week after. Bye for now.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And here are some of the students of Sevier International Schools, Brother Fawad Haider, Brother Hussein Ruhullah and Hassan Nasrullah, and Brother Ali Nasir. Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullah, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Fine, everyone?
Yes.
That's great. Welcome. Let's recommend our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now to stay with us till the end of this Quranic session, inshallah. So today, inshallah, we'll be working on ayah 83 of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is a nice verse like the other ones. All the verses of the Quran Karim are great. There is no doubt. So, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, right? So, ayah 83 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Let's everyone listen. All right, brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, please make sure you have your Quran and turn to Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 83. Make sure also you listen and practice with us. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Listen,
yes,
and practice.
Yes.
Let's have a nice recitation, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله.
وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله.
لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا وذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين.
لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا وذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين.
وقولوا للناس حسنا وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة.
وقولوا للناس حسنا وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة
ثم توليتم إلا قليلا منكم وأنتم معرضون.
ثم توليتم إلا قليلا منكم وأنتم معرضون.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. And when we took a pledge from the children of Israel, this is not only for Israel, children of Israel, okay? The children of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. This is for all. Allah Almighty is talking about the history of the prophets, okay? And he's telling us the rules as well, okay? So what were the pledge? What was the promise? Worship no one but Allah. One, number one, okay? Worship no one but Allah. Second, do goods to parents, relatives, orphans, and the needy, okay? So worship no one but Allah. Do good to parents, relatives, orphans, and the needy. And speak, number three, and speak kindly to people, okay? Number four, and maintain the prayer, number five, and give the zakat, five things, okay? You turned away except a few of you, okay? So after this pledge, okay? And the children of Bani Israel, the people of Bani Israel, okay? Most of them, okay? Turned away, it means they turned away from religion, they didn't accept these things, they didn't follow these things, except a few of you, and you were disregardful. So, guys, very clear, the commands of Allah Almighty. لا تعبدون إلا الله. One thing, remember. Okay? وبالوالدين إحسانا. Look, عبادت. After عبادت, directly Allah says, وبالوالدين إحسانا. It's very much important. Okay? وبالوالدين إحسانا. Okay. Always ask your mom and dad to make dua for you. Always try to please them. Make them pleased. Make them happy.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
So now, make sure inshallah for the full information, full details, refer to interpretations, okay? We don't have much time because our main topic is to work on tajweed rules. Now, what if akhadhna, pronunciations of the letter dhal. Make sure you do it, okay? وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ They have the same articulation point. بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ This is wajib mad. 6 counts or 5 counts. لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ Again, the pronunciation of the letter lam in the word Allah. Heavily pronounced. Why? Because there is a fatha sound before. إِلَّا اللَّهَ لَاللَّهَ Right? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا نون, تنوين plus واو نن will be merged to واو and نو now that نون sound will be merged as if it's not there join that نا sound okay with what with the واو نو إحسانا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ Right? Masakini. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ نُن مُشَدَّد What rule is applied? غُنَّ sound, right? What's غُنَّ sound? Nasal sound. لِلنَّاسِ yes, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا Ali Nasir, حُسْنًا تنوين فتحة plus واو
إدغام بِالغُنَّة
إدغام بِالغُنَّة حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَقِيمُوا وَوْمَدْ plus حمزة الواصل
skip حمزة الواصل
and
also the
وَوْمَدْ just yes. with أُو sound وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ not مُصَّلَاةَ not this long sound مُصَّلَاةَ short one وَآتُوا again the same وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ make sure زَكَات Maybe you will read zakawat because there is waw, yeah? But on the top of waw, you see there is a baby alif, a dagger alif. Yes. So that says this is pronounced as ah sound. Or sorry, ah sound. That's alif. Okay, mat. That's not waw. Waw is just a base for it. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ In salat as well, we have that one. Salat, yes. zakat. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا ثُمَّ إِدْغَامُ مِثْلَيْنِ Make sure you do it. Fawad is so good at إِدْغَامُ مِثْلَيْنِ Do it once. ثُمَّ Read it.
ثُمَّ
Oh, thank you, mashallah. That's great. That's Beautiful. Great. So, perfect. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ illa qalilan. Aha, tanween plus meem.
Idgham.
Idgham. With one or without one?
With one.
It seems like you're so good at idgham. It's easily say, idgham. Qalilan minkum. Minkum. Nun sakin plus kaf.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa, but in a different way. Minkum. Bank. Is it bank? The word bank? Remember? Bank. Huh? Mink.
It's lightly, yeah?
Yeah, it's light. But it has to be kind of clear that the next letter is kaf.
Yeah.
Or kaf even, sometimes. Sheen.
Yes.
Saad, taad, taadha, these things. Okay. Ghain. Wa antum, nun sakin plus ta. Rest of the letters, ikhfa. Fawad is so good at doing it. Now, Hussein, do it. Wa antum.
Wa antum.
Aha, ikhfa. Just a little longer. وَأَنْتُمْ
وَأَنْتُمْ
Aha, Hassan. مُعْرِضُونَ Alright, so. وَأَنْتُمْ Aha. فَوَتْ Again. وَأَنْتُمْ Meme plus meme.
إدغام مثلين.
Meme plus meme.
إدغام مثلين.
Dram mithlain, tha, pronounce the tha correctly. Mithlain, okay. Wa antum mu'ridun. Right?
Yes.
So that's all, guys. This verse was a long verse, but alhamdulillah, we did it. So many nice messages, and also so many good tajweed rules. Make sure, inshallah, you practice them well. Thank you so much. Do you have any questions?
No.
Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network. See you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. Stay with us, okay? والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد وأجل
فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.